Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to 9 Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Economic Facts and Fallacies, Second Edition. It's a nonfiction economics book by Thomas Sowell that examines how common beliefs about markets, inequality, housing, trade, and public policy often rest on flawed reasoning. Written for general readers rather than specialists, it does not try to build an academic theory of economics. Instead, it focuses on everyday arguments and public debates where emotions, slogans, and incomplete evidence tend to distort judgment. Sowell's purpose is to show how economic thinking becomes clearer when people ask basic questions about incentives, trade-offs, and unintended consequences. The book is especially concerned with recurring errors such as assuming every exchange has a winner and a loser, mistaking what is true for one group or one city as true for everyone, and treating correlation as causation. By using statistics, historical examples, and plain language, Sowell argues that many policy failures begin with plausible but misleading assumptions. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the zero-sum view of exchange hides mutual gain. One of the book's central arguments is that many people mistakenly treat economic exchange as if one side can only benefit at the expense of the other. Sowell challenges this zero-sum view by showing that voluntary transactions usually happen because both parties expect to gain. That principle matters because it undercuts a great deal of political rhetoric about prices, wages, trade, and landlord-tenant relationships. When exchange is framed as exploitation, policymakers may try to force fairness through controls or restrictions. Sowell argues that such interventions often ignore the fact that markets function because both sides have reasons to participate. Once those incentives are blocked, the result is not balance but scarcity, reduced supply, or fewer opportunities. The broader lesson is that economic relationships should be judged by outcomes and incentives, not by assumptions that gain must always imply loss. This is why the book repeatedly returns to trade and exchange as examples where intuition often misleads the public. Secondly, why looking at parts can produce false conclusions about the whole. Another major theme is the fallacy of composition, the mistake of assuming that what is true for one person, one group, or one locality must also be true at the national level. Sowell uses this kind of reasoning to question simplistic policy claims about jobs, housing, income, and urban problems. A policy may appear beneficial when judged in isolation, but that does not mean the same logic works when applied widely. For example, moving a problem elsewhere does not eliminate it, and helping one group through a shortcut can create broader costs for others. This matters in debates about city planning, wage policy, and redistribution, because public arguments often highlight visible benefits while ignoring less visible losses. Sowell's method is to widen the frame and ask what happens when everyone responds the same way, not just the initial target group. That shift in perspective is one of the book's most useful contributions, because it forces readers to move from local intuition to systemic analysis. Thirdly, sequence is not causation in social and economic change. The book also emphasizes the danger of the post-hoc fallacy, where people assume that if one event follows another, the first must have caused the second. Sowell treats this as a major source of confusion in public debate, especially when commentators attribute social problems to the most recent visible change. He insists that timing alone is not evidence, and that economic interpretation must consider broader trends, alternate explanations, and underlying conditions. This approach is especially important in discussions of crime, poverty, urban decline, and policy outcomes, where a rise or fall in a statistic can be incorrectly linked to a single law or reform. Sowell's criticism is not that causes never exist, but that they cannot be assumed from sequence alone. His habit of asking what else was changing at the same time turns the book into a lesson in disciplined inference. The reader is repeatedly pushed to compare before and after conditions carefully, rather than accept a convenient story. That makes the book as much about reasoning as about economics. Fourthly, central planning fails because people are not chess pieces. A recurring concern in the book is the belief that experts or officials can direct society as if people were obedient pieces on a board. Sowell rejects this chess pieces fallacy by stressing that individuals respond to incentives, preferences, information, and local knowledge that no planner fully controls. Policies often fail not because they were created in bad faith, but because they assume human beings will behave exactly as the plan requires. In reality, people adapt, resist, evade, or change direction when rules clash with their interests. This insight is important in debates over housing regulation, wages, education, and development policy, because top-down solutions often look coherent on paper but ignore practical constraints. The book's message is that good intentions do not replace knowledge of how people actually behave. By focusing on constraints and unintended consequences, Sowell shows why central planning often produces results different from those promised by its advocates. The critique is not anti-policy in a simplistic sense. It is a warning that policy must be tested against human behavior rather than abstract design. Lastly, Costs and trade-offs are hidden by open-ended moral language. Sowell also criticizes what he calls the open-ended fallacy, in which broad goals such as safety, health, or fairness are used to make policies seem costless. This is one of the book's most practical ideas, because public debate often treats desirable ends as if they justify any means. Sowell argues that every policy has trade-offs, even when those trade-offs are not immediately visible or are politically inconvenient to name. Regulations can protect some people while harming others, subsidies can help one group while distorting incentives, and restrictions can create shortages in the name of protection. The importance of this argument is that it forces readers to ask comparative questions rather than accept moral labels as analysis. If a policy claims to increase safety, the proper question is what it displaces, what it costs, and who pays. This habit of comparison runs throughout the book and gives it its sharpest edge. It encourages intellectual discipline by replacing slogans with evaluation of consequences, alternatives, and hidden burdens. In conclusion, Economic Facts and Fallacies, second edition, is best suited for readers who want a clear, non-technical introduction to how economic reasoning can be distorted by common myths. It will be especially valuable to students, policy readers, journalists, and general audiences who regularly encounter claims about inequality, rent control, trade, wages, or discrimination, and want a way to assess them more carefully. The book stands out because it does not merely present opinions about policy. It trains readers to recognize recurring errors in argument, such as false zero-sum thinking, confusion between parts and wholes, and mistaken causal conclusions. That gives it a broader intellectual use than a typical commentary on one issue. It is also more durable than books tied to a single current debate, because its framework applies across many subjects and periods. Compared with many economics books, it is unusually accessible without being simplistic. Its combination of historical examples, empirical evidence, and conceptual clarity makes it useful both as a primer and as a reference for reading public debate more critically. Readers who want a concise but rigorous challenge to conventional economic assumptions will find it especially rewarding. If you would like to support Thomas Sowell, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.